The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Football at 4. Here's The Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
Of course, we're focused on the Avalanche. We'll get back to that. But in terms of Football at 4, with training camp not all that far away, ESPN.com has turned its eyes to the final move that all 32 teams need to make this offseason. Matt Smith in for Tyler Columbus. And the answer that they have is getting Russell Wilson an extension sooner than later. You know, Matt, I think one of the things that makes more sense now is you really couldn't get this done without a new owner.
No.
It's just too much money. And the way that the contract may be worked out is a lot of cash up front to make things a little bit easier on the back end with your salary cap. It is really important to know that there's a difference between cash and cap, and that is kind of the secret trick to manipulating things in the NFL with the really wealthy owners. And when you look at the Rams, Matt, they don't give a crap about the draft. Not at all. What they do is acquire these free agents with as much money as they can. They pay them the money up front, and they backload the deals so that they defray the cost so they can keep them longer. It does feel like a bit of a pyramid scheme, I'm not going to lie, because it's just like, well, how can you have that much money? How are you able to do that? Matt, either you got the money or you don't. So I understand the concept that you give Russell Wilson extension sooner rather than later. The only thing that I'm going to blanch at about that is inevitably you're just going to give him so much cash up front, it kind of doesn't matter because you have the wealthiest owner in the history of the NFL.
The question is, for Russell Wilson, would you rather get that money right now or bet on yourself for the end of the season? Because, I mean, D-Mac, if he doesn't have, I mean, look, the money, he just bought a $25 million house. The money isn't really what's, you know, top of his mind. He's going to get market value for himself. So whether or not it's $225 or $250 million, if he had a bad year, let's just say, if Russell Wilson didn't have a great year, they're still going to re-sign him next year, and it's still going to be over $200 million, is it not?
For sure, certainly. Right. It'll probably be over $250 million.
So if you're the Broncos and if you're Russell Wilson, wouldn't you just kind of want to get this thing out of the way? Because if he has a good year and you see some other quarterbacks, if Lamar Jackson works out his own deal, look, the price could only go up if he has a good year.
I think what they'll try to, I think absolutely they'll try to get it done sooner than later, Matt. I just don't think it's that big of a deal. That's all. I think you're about to see.
Yeah.
Listen, man, if you're not excited about the wealthiest owner running your team, I'm not sure who you are. And I feel some weird pushback. First, thanks to our listeners in Arvada for making 104.3 The Fan part of your day. I think sometimes it's a matter of, like, you know, sort of self-doubt about having nice things. Like, you don't deserve it. It's fine. Hey, Broncos fans, you deserve it. So the pushback I always hear when it comes to stuff like this is, oh, well, but I don't want to have to pay for the stadium. I'm like, hey, we'll figure that out down the line, Matt. You know, of all the things to, like, you know, it's, do you just need to complain about something all the time?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. I think that's those people. Yeah. But also at the same time, I don't want to pay for a new stadium. I would not be okay with it.
Okay, fine. But there's a lot of things in life I don't want to do, Matt.
I wouldn't pay for it. Like, I'm just telling you.
But I'm saying, don't push that up to the front of the line. Like that is, like, imminent, or that you have to do it.
Of course.
Next. I mean, we are literally, Matt, years away from thinking about something like that.
Well, I agree with you. I definitely agree with you. And I also think that there's a good possibility Russell Wilson's deal doesn't get done until next summer anyway. So we'll see how it goes, D-Mac. I mean, here's where it comes down to for me. If you're the Pegulas, then I could see you possibly playing the waiting game with this deal, right? Because maybe Russell Wilson does have a bad year, and maybe you won't have to pay him as much, right? Even though they, didn't they sign Josh Allen to a ridiculous contract?
They sure did.
So, again, this is a franchise quarterback.
But by the way, yes, they did do that, but they're taking a lot of money from the residents of the state of New York to build their new stadium.
Absolutely. And with Robson Walton, he doesn't have to do that. He can do it all himself. And if you're trying to ingratiate yourself to a new community and prove that you're an owner who cares and wants the best for this football team and wants to build the winning culture and to support that and to give unlimited resources, that's just something you're going to have to bite the bullet and do.
Russell Wilson will be here for... All right, how about this for a question?
Okay.
Will Russell Wilson still be with the Broncos when their new stadium opens?
Yes. Nah. Well, probably not. No, I don't think so.
I think the new stadium is going to be up in 5.
Okay. All right. Well, then, yes, I do think so. See, I think maybe 10 years is more realistic, but at the same time...
For a new stadium?
I'm just guessing. It's just my guess. So you think 5 years? The stadium's up. We're in. Walmart in 5 years.
They're going to take a year to just sort of figure where are the bathrooms.
Right.
You know, seriously.
As they should.
A year of the lay of the land. Okay. And then inevitably.
Okay.
Because we didn't get soccer.
Right.
They'll build a $4 to $5 billion stadium. And inevitably, because we didn't get soccer, they'll rip down. By the way, get your Ferris wheel ride in at Elitch's, y'all. Anybody who's, you know, if you want to ride the rocket coaster or whatever they got over there.
It's the
summer of Elitch's.
That's right.
Before the wrecking ball comes to the torture spin zone or whatever it is.
It sounds like a great plot for a coming of age movie, D-Mac. That's what that sounds like.
Yeah, so just get it in.
Our last summer at Elitch's.
It's a romantic comedy.
Starring Jesse Eisenberg and Aubrey Plaza.
Exactly. The plot is thin, but you'll go to it because it's only 87 minutes long and the movie theater's cool. So, yeah, and that will become, I don't know what it's going to. Who knows? I mean, finally, there's going to be some sort of develop one way or the other. It's all about to happen. The Russell Wilson deal will get done. It's really, so I guess I'd agree. The one final move for all 32 teams is getting a deal done with Russell Wilson? No, come on. No. That's not it. The one final move for the Broncos. It's not, boy, we're in pretty good shape if that's the one final move for the Broncos.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's it.
That's the point here, D-Mac. If that's the truth, then they're made in the shade. But I don't know if that is the truth, right? I mean, you still have questions about roster personnel?
Absolutely.
Specifically, do you think they've done enough at inside linebacker? I'd almost put that as number one.
That is such a complicated question, Matt, because the defenses are just changing so much.
You got a lot more nickel on the field. That's no doubt about it.
It's just not the same position that it once was. They don't have the same responsibilities they once did. It's really more, a really aggressive safety that can also play down in the box more than your typical inside linebacker.
Let's put it to the text line, 303-713-1043. What is the one final move you think the Broncos need to make this offseason?
You know, to me, it's one more impactful interior defensive lineman.
That'd be great.
I just feel like there's some sort of vet out there. There's just one. I think that's the final piece of the puzzle, that there's somebody out there that we can get our hands on that is really going to make a difference. And, you know, loosen things up and help out Bradley Chubb and hopefully Randy Gregory if he can come back.
A couple of those guys just got signed. Akeem Hicks, Larry Ogunjobi. So, I mean, the talent is flying off the board.
Meanwhile, in terms of positions, what's going on with the goalie situation? And what's your feeling about that? We'll address that coming up next as we're live in Tampa getting set for tonight's Game 4. Thanks to Superbook Sports. It's Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
It's our Mission 16W Cup final pregame, presented by TNT Home Services. Here's The Drive with Matt Smith in the Superbook.com studios and DMAC live from the site of tonight's game, Tampa, Florida.
Can we go back? This is the moment. Tonight is the night.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of touched on it yesterday. For me, he's had a spectacular season. Well-deserving.
Can we go back? This is the moment.
That is Jared Bednar talking about Kale McCarr. Congratulations to Kale McCarr for winning the Norris, which I'm mad. Matt Smith in for Tyler Columbus. Yeah, that was awesome.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And very surprising, too. I guess not shocking, but I didn't think he was going to win.
No, it was surprising.
Most people around here didn't think he was going to win.
No, the only one who told me they were pretty sure he was going to win was Dater. Dater said that he had talked to a lot of riders, which, you know, I think the consensus out there was that Yossi had finished the season with 10 more points overall than McCarr did, but a large portion of those are assists and secondary assists specifically. And McCarr, you know, I think it was 27 goals, I want to say, on the season, including, I think, maybe 6 game-winning goals and, like, you know, 3 overtime goals or something like that. McCarr had an unbelievable year, and Yossi was the highest-scoring defenseman in 29 years, D-Max, so it did come as a surprise to me that Kale got the nod. But I will say one quick thing on the Norris. Victor Hedman was also a finalist for that, and I know that he's won before, but this is a guy who we really haven't seen make a giant impact in this series, and I wonder if that didn't just load a little bit more coal onto his fire, D-Max.
We'll find out tonight. We'll find out, and we'll get you right there. I'm on till 5 o'clock, and who's coming in with you, Matt? I don't even
It'll
know.
It'll be Sean Drotar.
Oh, well, that's fantastic.
We're going to have to make up from last night. Last night, we Sandy and Sean and I got into it a little bit on the Darcy and Frankie.
So? Talk to me about the nature of that.
The nature of that is Sandy and I both believe that Frankie is the right choice just because of the confidence. We also both believe that the confidence that we have in him.
What?
The confidence that we have in
him. So you
him.
Guys think he's a better goaltender than Darcy
I think
Kemper.
He's in better form than Darcy is.
And
I think
what
he's
gives
in much,
you that impression?
Just his play. He looks much more confident.
Based on what? Okay. Are you just doing eye test here?
You're asking for numbers? Or
no,
my
no,
reasoning?
But if you're telling me it's just eye test, I just look at him, he looks better.
Well, he does. I mean, the numbers, he has slightly better numbers. I think Darcy's got like an .892 save percentage, and Frankie's
got
So that's what I just said.
All right.
And he's also undefeated. But if you wanted the numbers, that's the numbers. For me, it's not about the numbers. For me, it's about the eye test. I think his glove is snapping a lot faster, and I think at this point, Darcy's allowing worse goals than Frankie is, D-Mac. I'd rather give up the goals that Frankie gave up in Edmonton in Game 4 where it's a 3-on-1 rush. And credit Darcy. Some of those goals he gave up were like that. But the thing that Darcy does that Frankie doesn't have as high of a proclivity to do is give up soft goals, D-Mac. And again, this is a situation where I feel like you're throwing a different look. He's got the righty glove that's impossible to replicate in practice. We saw several different times against Edmonton where Frankie did make game-saving saves, where he gave you the save that made up for a defensive lapse when we just don't see that from Darcy. He stopped Connor McDavid, stoned him cold right there on the doorstep, probably the best save of the playoffs so far for the Avalanche. He made a big poke check on Darnell Nurse. In my opinion, I'm just more comfortable. I think he's more poised in chaotic situations, quite frankly, than Darcy is at this point. And I still have concerns about Darcy's injury. I don't believe Darcy's earned it. And this was much of the conversation last night.
Well, he certainly earned it. He started in like 70 games this year, the most he ever has.
Oh, I understand.
Earned it. He's
in the playoffs. In the playoffs, considering his injury.
Matt, come on now. Is the hate just not in the barn? We're under a constant audition here? Is that what's going on? Every game is some sort of evaluation? No, that's not the way. No.
In my opinion, right now in the postseason, at this point in time, you go game by game.
Frank, you're making me crap on Frankie here a little bit, but I mean, you know, Frankie gave up 5 goals in the final game against
Edmonton. Of course, right.
He didn't look good there. He gave up a goal right through the 5-hole on the second shot the other night.
Which is why we say that there's such a thin margin between these two.
And frankly,
in
the third period anyway, the game was well in hand. The Avalanche, you know, were desperate to get anything going, and Tampa was happy to sit back. The Avalanche played with an empty net for the last, like, 5 minutes to tilt the ice in their favor. which felt to me like kind of a weird, desperate move. I don't know if the eye test is any better on Frankie.
No, it is. It is. His glove. D-Mac, his glove snapped.
Is this the nature of the fight you were getting in with Sean Drotar?
No, not really. It was more, that stemmed off of something that those two disagreed on, I think. But really, it was just more of Sean was saying that he feels like it's Kemper. And again, I also said at the beginning of the show, and I'll reset it, I've got no problem if Darcy starts tonight, which he will start tonight. I've got no problem. The margin between these two guys is so thin. I think you could make a strategic move to possibly steal game four. And if you lost anyway, you can bring Darcy back in game five in front of the home crowd, D-Mac, to regain the confidence for the brand new three-game series you would then have. That's just, again, what I would do. However, I also understand the perspective of rolling with the guy you've been with all season long, who has proved that he's your number one starter. When I say I feel like Darcy hasn't earned it, I'm talking about with the level of play we have seen in his most recent outings, taking away the 16 save shutout. I mean, which, give him credit for it, but at the same time, that 16 save shutout. And so for me, just my opinion, I feel more comfortable. That's why.
Let's get a Mission 16W update.
Time now for your Mission 16W update. Bring the cup home to Denver. Here's the latest on tonight's game, courtesy of Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
From all indications, it will be Darcy Kemper starting for the Avalanche. How short is the leash? Hopefully we don't have to find out whatsoever, that's for sure. Meanwhile, Nazem Kadri expected to start as well. Nicholas Aube-Kubel expected to be out for this particular game, while Andre Burakovsky never did make it to Tampa. I wanted to buy him a lobster corn dog at sale. I just never ran into them.
Is that what you've been enjoying, the lobster corn dogs?
You got to be careful. They'll break the bank if you have too many lobster corn dogs. I'm just telling you. Or perhaps you're having a goat, which is a nice red drink named after Tom Brady. Listen, these are small details. We'll get Berkey back hopefully at some point. We will drop the puck. And what are we talking about? Less than 2 hours. Live coverage rolls on from Tampa with six quick questions next on The Drive.
D-Mac, is Nathan MacKinnon feeling the pressure from the Stanley Cup Final?
No, he's not feeling the pressure, Matt. He's not gripping the stick too tight. Things just haven't gone his way. He needs to overcome that, though. It's critically important that he does that. I don't think he's folding or giving in, and I'd look at Val as a important person on that to say, hey, he's better that he's with Val. And Val is better than with him. Yes, next question.
Question two.
What impact will Nazem Kadri have, Matt?
I think Nazem Kadri will have an impact tonight. Emotionally, I think it helps to get him back into the lineup. If he's able to actually contribute, I think that's a different story. But I think just having him in the room, I think that will play a big factor for the boys tonight.
Question three.
D-Mac, what is your concern level, 1 to 10, on Darcy Kemper heading into tonight?
7. I don't have a lot of faith in Darcy Kemper, but my concern level with Pavel Francouz, 7. But that being said, ask me about the offense for the Avs, and in terms of confidence, 10.
Question 4.
Matt, Nathan MacKinnon, let's go back to him. Give me a point total for Nathan MacKinnon tonight.
Good question. I think we see 2 points, a goal, and an assist. I think Nate does get on the board tonight because I think he's more aggressive. I don't think he's looking to necessarily pass the puck as much as I want him to just rip that thing, D-Mac, no doubt about it.
Question 5.
Well, D-Mac, the Lightning have bathroom Becky. Is it time that you forewent the press box and stood outside the men's bathroom and the Habs could have bathroom D-Mac?
I tell you what, I'm just going to hold it for the entire game. And so I won't use the to counterpoint bathroom Becky. I'll be hold it D-Mac. And, that's how I'll counterbalance that.
Question 6.
Give me a game bigger than this one in the past 20 years for the Avalanche.
I don't think you can find one. I don't think you can find one. I think this one is really important because this is going to show if they can go toe-to-toe with the back-to-back champs after they've taken a punch. They hadn't yet in this series, and D-Mac, they certainly have now.
Six quick questions. I'm here in Tampa getting set for tonight's game four thanks to Superbook Sports. You know, you never really did answer my question. I asked specifically for points for McKinnon.
I said two.
Did you say two?
Goal and an assist. You just didn't listen. I think that's what happened.
We had
bad connection, huh? For you there in Tampa, just that part cut out.
Of a mile long, 3 inches deep. Sometimes,
yeah, look, those boat drinks I think might be getting to you at this point.
You know, I was doing that update with the Zoakley show in the pool, not from the pool area.
I know.
It was in the pool at DMAC Radio, if you don't believe me.
Yeah, well, any floaties there? Or I know you were in 5 foot water. Were your feet tippy toes touching the bottom?
You know, I was hanging on to the edge of the pool.
The one arm, the cool guy move.
Well,
the cool guy move. I heard there were ladies in the pool as well.
They weren't in the pool. They were off to the side. And listen.
So you have moment where you are all wet and people are watching you and then you have to get out of the pool in your bathing suit. It's always an interesting moment.
You know, you just sort of suck that up. And I made specifically, I walked away from the ladies and quickly advanced towards my towel.
Suck that up or suck that in? Which one?
It's a combination.
Oh, it's a combination.
Both,
I see.
You know?
I see.
But it's not as bad as it used to be. I'll tell you that.
No doubt about it.
It's been worse. There's no doubt about that either. The we'll have James Merrilat come along here in a little bit. You know, he was getting everybody very, very upset because he was accusing Joe Sakic of going cheap in terms of goaltending and for Jared Bednar. Mm. Okay, listen, James, everybody. You got Bednar at a bit of a bargain basement price because who else was going to take the job with a couple weeks before the season when Patrick Waugh bailed out? And frankly, it would have been easy to move on from Bednar after that 48-point season. Whether it was his fault or not, Jeff Breidich was the temporary coach of the Nuggets before they were able to wrangle George Karl to get here. Remember those days? So there was nothing to say that you would have had to keep Bednar, but it worked out. Well, only a fool would sort of just cost your club more money for no reason if you already have somebody. This is why when it came to like the Chris Harris contract years ago, I was like, why should they just pay him more money if they don't necessarily have to?
Sure.
And the Broncos stupidly just did that. They just gave him more money. People were like, oh, they promised Philip Lindsay more money. It's like, listen, maybe it was a bad promise to make, but you didn't have to do it. So why do it? And Lindsay's hanging on for dear life in the league. If you got a great coach at a bargain basement price, actually, that's a great move as a GM. I
agree. And the extension they gave him was only adding another year, right? And so if Jared Bednar could not have got it done this year, if they did not make it to the cup final or pass the second round, and you did have to reevaluate the situation, it doesn't look as bad because he only gave him a 1 year extension. But if it all works out, it actually looks great for you because you have him under contract. You don't have a lame duck head coach.
Right. And listen, man, this dude, whatever you want to say, is two games away from getting his team the Stanley Cup. Now, I will say this. I see a text message about, will this season be a disappointment if they don't win the Cup? At the beginning of the season, my answer to that question is no. My expectation for this year in terms of a disappointment was if they didn't get to the conference final. However, Matt, this is kind of like watching a golfer who's on a run, right? Like you see somebody and they're, you know, coming down the backstretch and, you know,
a little back nine heater.
Well, nobody expected you to be there, but as long as you're there, you need to play to the level of expectations that you currently exist in. So you can't miss a four-footer for a par-saving putt if you've been shooting 16 under for the entire tournament. Okay, fair enough. Nobody expected it that well, but you're playing to a certain degree. So I would say at the beginning of the year, Matt, it wouldn't have been a disappointment if the Avs didn't win the Cup. I would say if they didn't get to the conference final. However, Matt, they were up in the Cup final 2-0.
Yeah, so but it's more than that. And I think you're on the right track. But I think at the trade deadline, Joe finally pushed all of his chips in. That's when he started moving prospects, right? And now you are leveraged. Now it almost would be, D-Mac. Now it definitely would be, in my opinion.
I agree. So things have changed. And context is king in this, Matt, and they are there. But it's they won't, if they lose, if they don't win the Stanley Cup this year, it wasn't because Joe Sakic was cheap. It's because things didn't fall their way. They only have to win, Matt, two more games. So if you really think you went cheap and that's the reason why you couldn't close it out winning two more games, no way, Matt. There's so many other things that would have to go wrong, and none of them have to do with money. We'll talk to James Marilat about that. We'll have Sean Drotar come. Boy, you and Sean Drotar. The battle of the bedtime voices.
The bedtime voices.
Holy cow. I don't even know if we'll be able to hang on to
that. I heard you yesterday giving it your best effort.
I really have to try to do that. I think you just hum that, and you have a voice that could, prep the situation.
Mm.
James Marilat comes up next.
It's our Mission 16W Cup final pregame, presented by TNT Home Services. Here's the drive with Matt Smith in the Superbook.com studios and DMAC live from the site of tonight's game, Tampa, Florida.
Happy birthday to you.
There you go.
Happy birthday, D-Mac.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Happy birthday, man.
Yeah, well, let's celebrate the birthday with a Game 4 victory. Huh? I'll take that.
That sounds like a nice birthday gift. What time did your wife... Is your wife one of those that's going to text you at midnight? And then call you again in the morning?
No. She texts me at midnight, like, when the day's over, to sneak it in there. My wife was very kind.
That's consideration and thoughtfulness is what that is, D-Man.
She sent me some edible arrangements to the hotel.
What kind of edible arrangements? Sounds like it's an interesting birthday evening for you.
They were chocolate-covered strawberries.
Oh, it sounds like you and yourself are going to have a great night tonight.
Nothing like... just digging into a luscious box of chocolate covered strawberries.
Throwing on the hotel robe.
By yourself. James Marilat from DenverFan.com.
James knows what it's like. James knows about those nights with the chocolate covered strawberries in the hotel room.
I don't know. James has three kind of teenage type of kids. I don't know if
maybe he doesn't know about them anymore.
I don't know. I think James probably just doesn't even know about a good night's rest. But James, my friend, what is popping at DenverFan.com? What can we expect tonight and through the rest of this, the coverage of the Avalanche?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're, all over the news as it happens. And then it's if you're out and about, it's a good place to go back and see some of the highlights you may have missed early in games. So, we've been all over big plays and big moments as they've happened. And then, after the game, if you're tuning in the radio, you can catch Sandy and Sean and Matt and that crew. Or if you're around and near Facebook or Twitter or YouTube or any of that, you can watch me and Rachel and Will break down the game. So we're all over it from start to finish.
And I know, boy, like I should not even. Let me say this, because I don't want to be accused of being a jinxy cat. But I understand we got to be careful here, but we are very prepared for the future. Is that right?
Yes, we are prepared for the future. Correct.
Maybe I should just leave it
tomorrow's
there.
Thursday. We're prepared for Thursday, D-Mac.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there could be some fun, exciting things in the future, D-Mac. Mm-hmm.
No doubt about it. You need to prepare for fun, exciting things.
You can't just do that on a whim.
They're showing Thunder Alley right now. That looks nice because there's shade and people are setting up lawn chairs. I don't know if there's an auction happening right now. That's an interesting setup. Well, those are people that are just going to watch the game outside. I didn't realize they brought lawn chairs to Thunder Alley.
Oh, it's a party, baby. That's
well,
Tampa
in a
Bay.
Lawn chair? I don't know. But but Thunder Alley, the concept of having an outside area to watch the game is pretty cool. I'm going to set you up for this one, James. The fact that the Avalanche, in order to do that, have to shove people across the street to a college campus probably is another sort of misstep in the planning of the facility itself. Never mind the fact, good luck getting a drink after the game if you just want to celebrate.
Yeah, it's a bad setup. It's over
not
there
good.
By itself, surrounded by empty classrooms and university buildings in the middle of the night. So, yeah, it's not a good setup. I do think, though, when you look at the plans that were leaked, I don't know, a couple of months ago for what Kroenke wants to do with that whole area and you, where the parking lots are and eventually Ehlich's, I do think they get it and they see what they need to do around there. And, you know, it, Ball Arena is, I guess, quote unquote, downtown, but it's kind of off by itself. You got to go across a pretty major street in Speer to get to any place to grab some food or grab a drink or whatever else. So I think they're going to rectify that and get that solved. But, yeah, it's... it's less than ideal. I mean, honestly, McGregor Square is a really cool place to watch it. It's just fairly small. You can't get a ton of people in there when you compare it to some of the scenes we've seen in Calgary and Edmonton and other places around the NHL. It just doesn't quite
stack up. Listen, let's just call it what it is, okay? They did probably the best they could 20-something years ago when they built these arenas, the football stadium and Pepsi Center, Ball Arena. They did the best they could, and they didn't do bad with it. It's just that in 20 years, there have been other thoughts and other functions that have come up that make, and I'll tell you this about where the Lightning play. That's an old arena, okay? It is. The Ball Arena is a nicer arena top to bottom than where the Lightning play, Amalie Oil Center, whatever it is. It just so happens. There's just a lot more to do around Tampa the way they have it. It's just a more vibrant sort of area, and part of it's being in Southern Florida, obviously, but okay, whatever. That being said, let's stick to the game tonight in terms of what's going to happen. What do you think, if any, difference Kadri will make when he's expected to go tonight?
I think he'll be an emotional lift for sure. I mean, I'm curious to see, you know, what all he can do and particularly how he shoots the puck. Just, you know, talking to you yesterday when we did the show and just hearing you, whether it's on social media or on other shows, talking about, hey, he's out there, but, you know, he hasn't really kind of let it rip in terms of his shot yet. So I'm curious to see how effective he can be. I don't think it's going to be, you know, Willis Reed type of emotion where he comes out, makes a, you know, waves his hand and then goes to the bench. I think he'll play. I think he'll contribute. But I do think there'll be an emotional lift to it that'll be the biggest part of it. I think the Avs are going to play great tonight. I think they're going to come out. I think they're going to come out of the gates fast. I think they're going to be used to the Slurpee that is the ice in Tampa Bay. And I think that they'll get a fairer whistle in the first period. I think it'll be more of, all right, let's just let this thing go and see who plays better. I picked the Avs in five before the series. I still feel really good about that tonight. I think Darcy will be good. I think the Avs, you know, I don't know that they're going to cruise, but I think they look like themselves tonight.
What's the score if Darcy Kemper's pulled out of the game tonight?
I think if he gets to three given up, then he's going to be gone.
Matt, you agree? Three?
Yeah, three within the first 25 minutes.
So
it also depends.
Three to one, 2 minutes left, 2 minutes gone in the second period. He's still in the net?
I guess it just depends upon the score as well, but he's probably gone.
He's out.
If it's 2-2 and he gives up a third with, you know, 6 minutes to go in the third period, I don't think they're yanking him, but if they're behind and there's still time to come back and he's given up a third goal, then I think he's going to get yanked.
James, give me a score prediction then.
I think the Avs win 4-2 tonight.
4-2 with an empty net, or are they hanging on?
Yep, no, 4-2. I think it's 3-2, and they're, you know, desperately trying to hang on the lead, and they get an empty netter. So, look, Tampa's not going to go away quietly. You know, we came into this talking about how they've got all the experience and the two-time defending champs. We really saw that come to fruition in Game 3. That was the type of performance you see from a team that's played 60-some playoff games in the last 3 years. They're just not as good. They're not as talented. They have a distinct advantage in net, but that's not going to be enough. I think the Avs get it done tonight.
I appreciate it, James. And follow him at denverfan.com. Thank you, James. Appreciate it. Great job on denverfan.com. We got you covered top to bottom. Sean Drotar will come in here in a second. Matt, I will check in with you at the stadium. I've ordered the Uber. Supposedly he's waiting for me. Appreciate that.
How long of a ride is it exactly?
Well, last night it was quick because there was zero traffic. That's probably not the same today. So I got from the studio, which is in St. Petersburg, actually. It's over a bridge. I got there in about 19 minutes back to my hotel. I'm going a little bit deeper. I'm going straight to the arena. So hopefully I can check in with you and Sean before the end of the show, that type of thing, and give you a sense of what it feels like in the stadium. And shoot, maybe I can even see Bathroom Becky.
I was about to say, you better go find Bathroom Becky.
Let me tell you, the way I told you the stadium is small, there's not enough room for food for the entire media. So how they're doing food for dinner for the media, I know, cry me a river about getting free food, is they give you a coupon to get a free concession meal. And so
that's better than the free food.
I tell you that.
I don't know. From a lot of the media meals I've gotten, I'd rather have a concession coupon. That's not your lobster corn dogs, D-Mac.
That's that not your said, the one of the
fresh
areas.
Fresh sashimi.
One of the areas to get your media free food is Section 106, where Bathroom Becky is.
Oh, that's perfect.
By.
I want a photo.
I will try.
Arm in arm, Bathroom,
you know,
D-Mac and Bathroom Becky.
I will try to do better. I will try to get Bathroom Becky on the air with us before we're done.
Oh,
I will make.
Yes.
I will make that my mission if we can't get Bathroom Becky on the air with us.
At least a photo. Settle for the photo. Shoot for the interview. Settle for the photo.
Right. Right. Don't be too anxious, D-Mac. It's a birthday wish. I'll use my birthday. Bathroom Becky.
That's what I'm saying.
I'll go.
And you know what? On the way over, stop off at like a 7-Eleven and get her a pack of mints. You know, just for when the Avs start winning tonight, she's going to need something to do in front of the bathroom.
Man, I'll have time on my hands to stop at a 7-Eleven. Great idea,
she
Matt.
Needs something to hand out.
No,
she's
no.
just standing there by the bathroom.
What a wonderful idea. Hey, Uber driver, Kevin, I got to stop at a 7-Eleven for Bathroom Becky.
You could have planned ahead and brought some of the mini towels from the maid cart in the hotel and just had her hand those out for people to dry their hands as they're walking out of the bathroom.
I'm just giving everybody...
your fault you're not thinking ahead.
Sure. Well, we have brilliant analysis from you and Sean Drotar for the next hour. There's no doubt about it, but will I be able to interview Bathroom Becky before the clock hits 6 o'clock? That's a reason to keep on listening. My prediction is the Avalanche actually win 4-3 in overtime, just like they did on the road a couple of different times, and just like they did in Game 1. I've got it 4-3 in overtime. I've got the game winner going to Cale Makar, the Norris winner. But I do have 2 points, at least 2 points. I'll agree, a goal and assist from Nathan MacKinnon. I think he breaks out of what, you know, is a maybe, I'm rolling my eyes, mini little slump. So I think the superstars come up big, 4-3 Avs in overtime. What do you have, Matt Smith?
Tonight I've got a 5-4 Tampa win.
Oh, no, Matt Smith, what are you doing to us?
I hope I'm wrong.
What are you doing to us, Matt Smith?
I hope I'm wrong.
You know, you're extremely replaceable. I mean, we could just find...
Oh, no doubt about it.
You know,
I see a guy out there on the street right now. I mean, for the last hour, just get him in here with Sean. What do you think?
5-4, and how does that 5-4 go in your mind?
I think Tampa gets on the board with 2 in the first period. I think Colorado will as well. Oh. Maybe 2-1 first period. I just think you're going to see some scoring tonight.
Whoa.
I think you'll see back
and forth. You got them pulling Darcy?
No.
You got 2-0 and not pulling Darcy?
Yeah, probably not.
Okay.
I don't think he would. I don't think he'd yank him in the first period after 2. I'd just be surprised.
Sean Drotar is ready. Matt Smith is always ready. I'll try to find Bathroom Becky. I'll do the best I can.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.